Deadly Code by Lynn Anderson, read by Sally Armstrong. The voices were there again. Chitter-chatter, chitter-chatter. The two men were bad enough, whispering confidences, offering advice. She could just about cope with them. But not the woman. It was the woman's voice she hated most, screeching away at her. Esther, stupid! Esther, stupid! The wind met her abruptly at the underground entrance, snatching the voice from her head. She imagined the woman being dragged away, screaming, and smiled. It's a pound. She was startled back into reality. Sorry, right. She walked back from the unmoving turnstile and slipped a pound coin under the glass partition. Her right hand shook as she tried to pluck the ticket from the curved metal tray. The guy waited, his chin raised in mock patience, as she fumbled. Her hands didn't work anymore. They didn't do what she told them. She walked stiffly to the turnstile. As the slot sucked in the ticket, the woman's voice was back, nipping her brain. When the train emerged from the tunnel, the roar momentarily drowned the voice. She looked down at the track and imagined being enveloped in a thick black silence. Then the woman was back, calling her a stupid bitch, a stupid fucking bitch. Esther stumbled forward, tipping her centre of gravity towards the edge. Chapter 1. A body in water is prey to all manner of hazards. Rocks, fishing boats in too much of a hurry to notice the soft thump of swollen flesh against a bow. This body, or more precisely, bit of a body, was no exception. The left foot had been severed from the leg, 10 centimetres below the patella. Both fibula and tibia bones were divided at the same place. All the toes were intact, although the nails had disintegrated, or been eaten off during the foot's time in the water. Dr. Rona MacLeod stepped back from the examination table and eased the mask from her face, letting in the tang of the sea and the smell of watered death. Well, the pathologist, Dr. Sissons, raised an eyebrow. D.I. Bill Wilson stood opposite. He raised an eyebrow to match, making sure Sissons didn't see, then winked at Rona. Chrissy McKinch, Rona's young assistant, stepped back, her face growing pale. This week, her hair was bright auburn. The contrast made her face even paler. Mortuary assistants grew used to the smell of corrupt flesh. Forensic assistants didn't get exposed to it often enough to become immune. I'd say the foot's been in the water between 3 and 4 weeks, Rona said. Sissons nodded in agreement.
A fisherman caught it in Razzie Sound, said Bill.
So the crime scene is a fishing boat? Rona smiled. A pity the crime scene manager on that one.
Tempers are running high on Skye. A boat went down there a month ago, Bill said. They haven't found the bodies of the crew yet. Locals blame an MOD submarine. Chances are the foot belongs to one of the missing men.
It wouldn't be the first time a submarine has snagged a net and sunk a boat. Bill nodded.
Then again, it could be someone trying to get rid of a body. Judging by the size, it's male.
Sissons glanced at Rona.
Dr. MacLeod will confirm that with DNA sampling.
How did it get separated from the body? Bill asked.
Difficult to be certain, Sissons said, after this amount of time in the water.
Rona contemplated the grey mass of soggy flesh. The limb had been cut off just below the knee, but by what? Most Glasgow villains like to dispatch their victims with a knife, although hatchets, axes, machetes, meat cleavers and samurai swords were also popular. Glasgow was knifing capital of the UK. The Western Isles of Scotland were not. I'll take samples from the cut-off point, she suggested. There might be microscopic fragments of metal left in the wound. There was a gagging sound. Chrissy was making for the door. Out in the town last night, Rona explained. Stomach's a little fragile.
I have to go, Sisson said. I'll leave the rest to Dr. MacLeod.